All of the newest episodes of Note to Self are now available on the Luminary podcast app. It's free to download, and you can also listen to other podcasts from WNYC studios like Radiolab, Two Dope Queens, Snap Judgment, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, and others. Luminary Premium is the only place where you can enjoy the entire new season of Note to Self, plus new original podcasts you won't find anywhere else, from Trevor Noah, Roxane Gay, Guy Raz, Lena Dunham, and many more. And you can enjoy them ad-free. Start your free trial by going to luminary.link/note to self or download the Luminary app for free.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is New Tech City, WNYC's weekly look at how technology is changing the way New Yorkers live. I'm Anoush Zamarodi. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. It's pretty likely that at least one gift a child gets this season has a screen. And while we don't want to be a Grinch about it, what effect are all these screens, from TVs to smartphones, having on kids' brains? Here's a replay of my interview with Dr. Ari Brown. She's a pediatrician in Austin, Texas, and lead author of the American Academy of Pediatrics study on the effects of media on children. Dr. Brown, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You know, it's more than just TV these days. I was thinking about getting my kids' teacher an iTunes gift certificate for the holidays, since an iPad is always being used in his kindergarten class. And then I started thinking, is it bad that my son is learning to draw and write on an iPad?
You know, I think these kids are digital natives, and so they grow up with this technology as opposed to us. We're just kind of tourists. But, you know, they learn these things, and there is some value in using these educational tools, because they can be educational tools. But they're not going to be a replacement for all of the things that kids can learn with their hands and in an unstructured way with toys.
So how do we know when enough is enough and when it's too much?
For kids over age two, we really encourage parents to have a healthy media strategy. Just like creating a healthy diet for your kids and a lifestyle for your kids, you want to have a media strategy. That means that you're limiting media time on all screens to 2 hours a day for kids over the age of two.
And that includes interactive media as well.
And that does include interactive media, because what we've seen is that kids who are spending an awful lot of time on screens in various formats have some potential health and developmental effects. The concerns that we see are an increased incidence of obesity, an increased incidence in aggression, substance abuse. There's some concerns about attention disorders. And really the biggest one, and if you have kids, you may even see this yourself, is the effect on sleep. I think it's important for the phones and the other screens to go to bed. And so they have a curfew. And if you can try to keep them out of the kids' room and put them, you know, downstairs in the kitchen in a basket, and the phones and everything goes to bed 30 minutes before the kids do, then you're really doing your kids a favor.
Yeah, you know, it's so hard to know as a parent what is something that your kid just, you know, this is what life is going to be like in the future. And I certainly don't want to hinder my children from knowing how to do all this technical stuff by, you know, restricting them to just wooden blocks or something. But I did find this one study last year that found nearly one out of every five kids between two and five knows how to use a smartphone application, but only 9% of them can tie their own shoelaces.
Right.
Does this mean like development of tech skills is growing faster than life skills?
I'm really glad you brought up blocks, because that is a great holiday gift. If you don't have one, a set of blocks in the house, your kid really needs that, because there's nothing that's going to be able to replace that tactile experience of taking one block and putting it on top of the other and figuring out how to balance it. And if you really want your child to succeed and have all of these skills, give him that free, unstructured, unplugged playtime, because that is really important. And I promise they will get the digital skills. They will get them. Like you said, they figure it out before they figure out how to tie their shoes.
Dr. Ari Brown, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Have you put yourself or your kids on a screen time diet? Let us know at WNYC.org/tech. And that's where you can also hear the entire interview with Dr. Brown, including information on when you should let your kid go on Facebook and the right age to give your child a cell phone. My parents always said homemade gifts were the best. But it's 2012. Forget self-portraits or clay mugs. A growing number of 3D printer companies want to take homemade to the next level.
One of those companies, MakerBot, recently opened a retail store for the first time here in Manhattan to show the public that printing things isn't science fiction.
We wanted to show people what a MakerBot is, how it works, that you can make things with it.
That's MakerBot CEO Bree Pettis. If two-dimensional printing is your typical office copy machine, 3D printing creates customized objects that for now are largely made out of plastic. Businesses can make prototypes for new products. Surgeons can make models of tumors before they operate. You can print out that car part that you need. Pettis says visitors to the store usually have this follow-up question.
And then they're like, well, clearly this is ultra expensive. And then we get to tell them that it's only $2,200.
Only $2,200? Who are these early adopters who simply must have a 3D printer in their home? Amy Buzagia is the store's manager.
We had a 13-year-old boy a few weeks ago who came in with his life savings and bought a machine and said, I'm making model airplanes.
Okay, so the 13-year-old gets it. Let's ask a grown-up.
Sure, of course, yeah. My name is Faris. Hello there. I'm a sort of strategist, writer, creative director type person.
Why is 3D printing so important?
It suggests a new kind of industrial revolution where the industry is being done in your home, and the role for companies is no longer to sell the physical thing, but the idea of the thing, the design file, the CAD file, the Thingiverse file, you know? So at a long enough time frame, I think it changes almost everything about industrial culture. For right now, though, it's still moving from the sort of hobbyist stage, so it just takes time, I guess.
That's Faris Yaqob, right after getting his head scanned in the MakerBot 3D photo booth. Visit the store on Mulberry Street to get a 3D copy of your head made in small, medium, or large, starting at $20 per head. Finally, you give to your kids, you give to your friends. 'Tis also the season to tip your postman, doorman, and maybe your coffee shop man or lady. I discovered a new way to leave a tip when I visited the treat truck shop in my neighborhood the other day and started chatting to owner Kim Ema.
Kim, I come here all the time, and I noticed that you have the dip jar. What is the dip jar?
The dip jar is a new system for leaving tips. So if you don't have cash, you can take your credit card and you dip it in the jar, and it makes a little sound of coins, and then you've tipped a dollar.
And I'm going to give it a try. So it says meet dip jar. I've got my credit card out, and it's like kind of a cylinder with a slot for a credit card in it. So I'm putting it in, and I heard a tinkling sound of coins, which means that I can do step 3, which it says is to smile. Okay. Thanks, Kim.
This New Year's Eve, are you planning to celebrate with family and friends in person or virtually? Let us know on our website. It's wnyc.org/tech, or tell us on Twitter at New Tech City. And please spend the last week of 2012 listening to our podcast. It's free on iTunes. I'm Anusha Marodi, and this is New Tech City from WNYC.